You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Welcome to another episode of JX Arts. Each month, we take a look at what's happening in music and the arts through the eyes and ears of our resident guides here at JPR. Vanessa Finney is JPR's arts reporter. She's also the host of the podcast My Better Half and The Creative Way. Hi, Vanessa.
Hello. Good morning.
And Dave Jackson curates the music on JPR's Rhythm and News service. He manages the music staff, and he's also the host of Open Air. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Mike.
So let's start with some music, Dave. I hear you've got some new albums for us.
Yeah, I want to talk about this album from Kirsch Calais. And he's a tabla player. He was born in the UK. His parents are Indian. He grew up in New York. And he's helped pioneer what they call Asian fusion, which is kind of a mix of traditional Indian music and electronica and dance music. It started becoming popular in the late 90s and sort of early aughts. And I'll play a clip of one of the songs we're playing right now. It's Kirsch Calais' Night Turns. So you can kind of hear in that clip, it starts with some tabla, there's some electronica and some Middle Eastern kind of sounds, and it gets into a nice groove and dance beat on there. And so that's sort of that blend of traditional Indian music and then current pop and what's going on right now. And I wanted to put that kind of idea into context. I recently spoke with Richard Thompson. Completely different style of music. Yeah. He credits himself, and there's plenty of evidence for it, of kind of inventing British folk rock. And he'd listened to back in the 60s to folks like The Band and some of the other North American artists who were blending folk music with what was going on with rock and roll. And he thought, well, there's a lot of rock and roll going on right now with the Rolling Stones and stuff, and they're basing everything on kind of American blues. What if we based it in kind of British folk rock? And that's kind of what I see what Kirsch Calais did there in the 90s and the aughts with what was going on in the popular music and what was going on in the traditional music that he kind of grew up with. So just to put that into a little context, that was interesting.
It's got a pretty good dance beat.
Yeah, it definitely does. And the sound, it's got a rich sound. It's sort of blending all those things. And he was part, early in his career, of a percussion supergroup featuring Zakir Hussain. They were called Tabla Beat Science. And they had a studio album called Tala Matrix. And it's one of the great tabla fusion albums, sort of an explanation of that. And so Kirsch Calais stopped making music for about 10 years. He sort of became disillusioned with the formulaic method everybody was doing to make tunes. He said, if you told me to write a song, I could sit at my computer and I know how to make a good beat and I could do something like that, but I wasn't being fulfilled with that. And he wanted to make an album that would appeal to back when music was new to him and everything was exciting. He said, I wanted to make an album for my 10-year-old self. And so rather than just like getting a piece of paper or his computer out and starting to make music, he did 28 paintings and then used them as sort of inspiration to write the bones of these songs on a piano.
Love it.
And so just a completely different way of doing things.
He's wildly creative.
Yeah, it really is. And the album began with the paintings and a piano track, and then they went into the studio to finish everything up. Obviously, there's a lot of studio work on that record. And so he dedicates, I got another clip from it, he dedicates a song on it called Tabla Beat Scientist to Zakir Hussain, who passed away a few years ago because he influenced his life and his music. Thank you. And again, there you could just see this album's just rich with different textures and beats and styles. And I've been really kind of, it's just the kind of thing that I listen to and go, there's something that's different. I like that.
Right. That's really cool. And I caught a show from Zakir Hussain down at, I think, on the UCLA campus years ago before he passed.
And that was not too long ago, he did an album with Bela Fleck and some other folks like that, too. So, yeah, Zakir Hussain got around a lot and I've gotten into Kersh Kale's orbit as well. So.
That song makes me feel like there should be a laser light show in here.
I bet you his live shows, I haven't seen them, but I bet you there's a lot of cool lights going on in those.
We should do that for ambiance. Light some candles, get some disco balls going. That'd be fun.
That would be fun. You've got some other albums.
Yeah, sort of another couple we've been checking out. There's Chobi Riccio. A couple of years ago, we heard about her. She won the John Prine Fellowship from the Newport Folk Festival for songwriting. And her first album is what you'd expect from somebody who won a John Prine songwriting contest. But she just released a new album, and it blends a lot of that songwriting, but she actually shows kind of an indie rock side of her character as well. So we've heard some tunes off of that I would have classified as indie rock. The rest of the album came out. There's a lot of folk on it as well, so that's one we're digging into. Mm-hmm. And then we have a new album from Tank and the Bangas, and they're a New Orleans hip-hop group fronted by Toriana Ball, a.k.a. Tank. They won the 2017 NPR Tiny Desk Contest, and so that's how she got into sort of how I started hearing about her. But what I like about them is she's a great freestyle rapper and a poet, and she has a lot of positive message in her music. But what struck me first was I watched a video after they won the Tiny Desk Contest, and her band is it's a live band with musicians and percussionists and horns and whoever else you can get on stage. And the music is really in depth. There's the first time I heard it, it's like, this is like if Frank Zappa was rapping. It's that's just how different it is. And I've seen her live now three different times. And while the shows are rather adult in nature, they really are a good band to go try and see if they're ever out here on the West Coast. I would strongly encourage it.
Well, for our listeners who don't know what Tiny Desk concerts are.
Tiny Desk is NPR Music's concert stage, and everybody has played there now. They sit behind, it's not actually a tiny desk, but it is the music desk at NPR, or it was at one point. And sometimes they'll have an audience. They do three or four songs, and you can find them on YouTube. They just announced the recent winner, and the name is escaping me right now.
Can't remember either.
Yeah, they just had the new winner was just announced, and I feel bad for not knowing that now. But
we'll come back to it.
We'll come back to it, yeah.
So. Okay, you're listening to JX Arts on the Jefferson Exchange. Our resident guides are JPR arts reporter Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson, host of Open Air on JPR's Rhythm and News Service. So, Vanessa, there's a special live performance of the Eugene Gleeman. Tell us about that.
Yes, we have a couple of things going on this week, or coming up, rather, for our friends in Lane County. So this is an official America 250 Oregon event coming up on May 30th. It's the 100th anniversary Spring Gala performance of the Eugene Gleeman. This is a male chorus that was founded in 1936 by a bunch of civic-minded men from service groups that are pretty much everywhere, like Rotary, Kiwanis Club, the Chamber of Commerce, and they've been sort of woven into the fabric of that area ever since. They have a couple of yearly concerts, an annual Sweethearts Ball. And this big event is on the 30th at University of Oregon's MacArthur Court. Doors open at 3, with actually an historical exhibit and docent-led tours. And then the concert starts at 4:30. And they're also not just celebrating America's 250, they're bidding farewell to their leader of 23 years, John Lancey. So you can get more information at eugenegleeman.org if you're in Lane County. And I'll play a little clip for you.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. It's true,
Okay, so as you can hear, the repertoire includes patriotic tunes, Americana, and it's all part of this big celebration, including their 100 years.
Okay, well, sticking with live music, Dave, I hear you also have a live session scheduled here at JPR.
Yeah, coming up Thursday at noon. You can hear it on your radio or at ijpr.org. We're going to have a live session with Sage Cook and Ara Fox. Sage Cook is formerly of the band Elephant Revival. They're out of Colorado. And he left the band a little over a decade ago to become a subsistence farmer in Kansas. And going to talk about farming a couple more times today here on JX Arts even. But he and Ara Fox are an acoustic duo, and they're the core of a more expansive, kind of semi-psychedelic group called We Dream Dawn. They released their debut. It's called Love Undoubtedly Underlies Everything. And got a couple clips from that, one with him singing, one with her singing.
It wasn't what you thought it was. Rarely ever really ends. Rarely ever shows itself the way we often hope it did. Another link, another chain, another attempt to explain. We left there talking circles and question pushing rain.
Has kind of an 80s vibe to it, I think I hear in there sometimes. And then Ara Fox sings on this one, a tune called Run.
Have you ever really felt like running away? Have you ever ran away yourself? Oh, tell me, is the wind in your hair enough to keep you there?
Talked about this album a little bit on JX Arts last fall when it came out. But yeah, we have their live session. That'll be Thursday at noon. And they're performing Thursday night in Medford. They'll be at Dos Mariposas. Showtime is at 5:30. And I'd like to say that's a really good time to start a show. And I think looking at those of us in this room right now, I think at earlier start times, that's such a cool thing.
It's true.
It really is. Now, where is it going to be?
It's at Dos Mariposas in Medford. And you can find information at dosmariposasvineyards.com.
Okay. Now, you said they're going to come here first.
Right. Yeah. We're going to do a live session with them, and you'll be able to hear that Thursday at noon. So.
Do we invite the public to those live sessions?
No, there's a lot of logistical issues with that. A lot of times it just has to do with everybody being on such a tight schedule to say, oh, we're inviting these people in, but they can't make it till 4, and the band has to be out by 4:15, and there are just some logistics that make that really hard. So.
Okay. So.
Occasionally we'll have somebody in who's like helping out, or like we had the Wood Brothers in a week or so ago, and the person who loaned us some drums and keyboards to use in that show sat in on it, but that's they were there at the time. So.
Okay, do we ever video those?
We're starting to work on some video stuff, and we may get some clips from that Wood Brothers show from
cool.
recently.
Okay, on that note, we'll take a short break. We'll return shortly with more music and the arts with Dave Jackson and Vanessa Finney. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Welcome back to JX Arts on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm joined by my two guides, JPR Arts reporter Vanessa Finney, who also hosts the podcast My Better Half and The Creative Way, and Dave Jackson, who hosts Open Air and curates music on JPR's Rhythm and News service. Now, before the break, we were talking about a lot of different kinds of music, including some folks that are going to come here at JPR and perform live. But I also hear Roxy Ann Winery has a big barbecue and bluegrass fundraiser event coming up.
Yeah, it's called Brews, Bluegrass, and Barbecue. And every year I have to write that down to make sure I get the order right. And I think they've changed that a couple of times. It's been burgers and bluegrass and brews and things like that. But it's Brews, Bluegrass, and Barbecue. It's at Roxanne Winery in Medford. It's an annual event sponsored by the Rogue Valley Food System Network. They're an organization. They work to end food insecurity. They want to strengthen the local food and farm community, promote sustainable farming, reduce food waste, and they promote a sustainable, what they call, food system that integrates like everything from production to delivery to food waste. And you can get more information on all that at rvfoodsystem.org. So they're hosting Brews, Bluegrass, and Barbecue. I think that's what I say.
Well, they're a great organization. Is that?
Yeah, that's June 6th at Roxanne Winery. And they'll have, as the title suggests, a barbecue, locally produced beer and cider, and 6 hours of music featuring specifically some bluegrass with Desert Hollow. And they are a touring duo out of, I want to say, the Midwest. Mountaintop Sound is a local bluegrass Americana group. Bell Towers from Eugene, and it's headlined by Portland's Never Come Down. And you can find tickets at donorbox.org. That's going on. So it's Brews, Bluegrass, and Barbecue at Roxanne Winery on the 6th.
Okay, and that starts when? What time?
In the past, it has started at noon. I know because I've been the first performer there before.
Okay, and speaking of benefits, there's a benefit concert in Williams called Community Rising.
Yeah, Community Rising is at Pacifica Ranch, which was formerly Steve Miller's ranch, and that's the musician, not the politician, Steve Miller. He lived out in the Applegate Valley.
The Steve Miller Band?
The Steve Miller Band, Fly Like an Eagle, yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that, right here in Applegate.
Yeah, he had some, I want to say, studios, plural, out there, at least one. And Pacifica is a community learning center. It's out in Williams in the Applegate Valley. And May 29th and the 30th is Community Rising 3. So this Pacifica is on tribal land first inhabited by, and I hope I say this right, the Dacubidita tribe. And they sponsor learning activities for kids. There's one called The Pacific Adventures in Learning. It's a project for home-based learners to socialize and connect with nature. They have a program during the school year, Siskiyou Roots. It's an outdoor-based program. It's got academic depth and creation and exploration. Students learning from woodworkers and clay brick builders. They learn sewing projects, art creation. So a whole like a makers sort of educational program out there.
You know, I took my kids out there one time. This was a couple of years back, and they had some geological event out there, and my kids absolutely loved it. They all the various different rock formations, and they, you know, were able to touch and feel and get outside and do some things. And they love the Crater Rock Museum, so that was just a natural extension.
Yeah, and there's some neat hiking trails out there and some neat artifacts and things to look at. And then they're raising funds for their music program and their kids' scholarship program. So Community Rising 3, it's a two-night music festival. There's on-site camping. There's food and beverage vendors, artisan shopping, so a little fair going on there, a miniature country fair sort of thing, if you will. And headlining each night is Yak Attack, and they're they call themselves organic electronic music in that they play everything live on stage and loop it, but they are going to get into some some like electronic dance music going on. So it's a kind of fun stuff like that. Also out there will be Southern Oregon's The Frenzies and Emily Turner, who was in Free Creatures, and Skylar Sculio, who's in Free Creatures, and Jared Masters, who produces a lot of music around here. He's in a band called The Illies. We've had some JPR live sessions with him, and just we were playing his most recent release as well on Open Air. So it's some good local music, good music coming in from Portland, and just a neat program out there.
So where is Williams?
Williams is out, if you go out to Applegate and kind of keep going, you get to Williams, or you can leave from Grant's Pass and head out that way and hit Williams.
So okay, so
what's the highway that runs out of Jacksonville? What's that?
Yeah, out of Jacksonville. I don't know.
Anyway, it's the highway that runs between Jacksonville and Grant's Pass. Eventually, you get out there to Williams, and it's a little tiny town farm community.
Okay, and so Vanessa, I hear you have some outdoor venues as well, outdoor concert, classical.
I do. I've got, about five more events to talk about, but let's start with that. The Hunter Nowak's 2026 concert series is kicking off. Some of you might remember me talking with Hunter last year on The Creative Way. This is an annual project called Classical Music in the Wild, although it's not all classical music. Sometimes it's traditional tunes as well, because he'll bring up regional artists sometimes. He's basically taking his 9-foot Steinway grand piano on a flatbed out into natural landscapes all over the country, really. And he's on tour through California and Oregon currently. He's coming the closest to us May 30th and 31st. He'll be at Applegate Hartish Lake in Jacksonville, and it runs from about 5 to 6:30, and it's a great chance to see live music in a green space and to meet the acoustical challenges. They pass out Bluetooth headphones, and these work surprisingly well. So he encourages people to walk around, splash around in the water. When I went at Applegate Lake last year, I put them on, and I was walking all up and down this dirt trail along the shoreline, and I heard the ducks in the water and him performing as well. So it works really well. And you can learn more information at inalandscape.org. And I've been talking about Eugene in Jacksonville, and there's another item. There's a statewide organization called Music Oregon, whose mission is to bridge economic opportunities across the regional music sector. Well, they're expanding. They just absorbed Music Portland, and they're trying to be more, well, I will say less Portland-centric. So they're going on a statewide listening tour, and they're tonight in Eugene at Wow Hall from 7 to 9 p.m., and this is open to anyone in the local music ecosystem to share their concerns or their ideas about how to make our music community thrive and grow. So if you're a DJ or an independent musician, music educator, promoter, venue operator, they want to hear from you. And in Jacksonville, they're going to be at the Black Barn Farm tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. And you can get more details at musicoregon.org.
Okay, so that's May 20th.
Yes. Yeah, tomorrow, May 20th in Jacksonville at Black Barn Farm.
Okay.
That sounds like an interesting thing that kind of needs to happen. There's so much that's we're still kind of in the wild, wild west, since record labels aren't necessarily the major way we're hearing music now. It's promoting local music, and there's a bigger stage now, I think, for local music. Depending on, I guess, your area and who's involved in it. But, it's good. Just making that sort of work as we move into the new territory.
Yeah, they want to empower us.
Yeah,
it's a great opportunity.
As a reminder, you're listening to JX Arts on the Jefferson Exchange. Our resident guides are JPR Arts reporter Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson, host of Open Air on JPR's Rhythm and News Service. So, Vanessa, let's turn our attention to what's happening on the movie screen.
Yes, Shasta Stories will be screening at Terrene Winery and Cidery. This is one of my favorite new venues in Ashland. And this is filmmaker Audie Carlisle. She's got a documentary series, and we'll be seeing two films from that series in Ashland. It's Sunday, May 31st at 7 p.m. We have a couple of clips of it. It's basically a look at the area of rural Tule Lake in eastern Siskiyou County. And the two films that she's going to be showing at Terrene, she describes as a then and now pair. So she's starting with firsthand accounts of Modoc relocation and Japanese incarceration during the World War II era. This film that we're going to hear right now is Out of Place, in which a Japanese-American woman and a Modoc indigenous woman share about their culture's unmarked graves in Tule Lake and how they preserved their family history despite incarceration camps and Indian schools.
The whole history of World War II has to be told by the Nisei. And it was the Sansei who said, "What? Mom, Dad, you were locked up for 3 years and never told us. The U.S. Army said, we've got to get rid of these people. They're a threat, so we've got to lock them up. Somebody said, well, but they haven't done anything. Well, that's all the more reason we need to lock them up so they don't do anything.
So that's Out of Place. That's a 34-minute film. And Field Advantage is a 40-minute film. Mexicans and homesteaders work together, keeping agriculture alive and learning to acknowledge their entangled past together. Despite language gaps and even deafness, they're providing the next generation of youth. There's a little log line, and here's a clip.
Tulalikes was founded on homesteaders, but it was also founded on its ag workers. Our families are here. We've been here. We work for you. And I feel forgotten.
Okay, and for details on that Sunday, May 31st screening, you can visit TareenWines.com.
That is amazing. That first clip reminded me of a book I was reading called One Balloon. And it's the about the Japanese attack on the Americans, sending thousands of balloons here, and one of them actually blew up here in Oregon.
Right.
And killed a few kids and their teacher.
I found myself on a plane from L.A. to Oregon recently with the author of that book that you're describing, and she let me read it on the plane, and I finished it by the time we landed. It was a remarkable book, and you interviewed her, correct?
Absolutely. Casey Winters.
Yeah.
What a wonderful person, and it's illustrated very well also. Now, I understand that there's a Broadway star coming back home to perform at Ashland High School?
That's right. I've actually got a couple of returning singers to talk about. An Ashland High School graduate who went off to Broadway is back with a new show. Her name is Stephanie Lay, and not only is she currently appearing in Oregon Cabaret Theater's murder mystery, Miss Marple, I saw it, it's fabulous, she's going to be back where she started as a teenager at the Ashland High School Theater. That's coming up Sunday, May 24th at 7:30 p.m., and it's basically, this is a cabaret show, and what that art form is you use a collection of songs and you weave narrative through it. And she's going to be talking specifically about how music has shaped her, including personal stories from her life. There'll be special appearances by her mentors from here in Ashland and the next generation of performers. It's called My Little Voice, and let's hear a clip from it.
Spoonful of sugar, helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar, helps the medicine go down. In earnest, delightful way. A rod and feathering, his nest has very little time to rest. While gathering his bits of twine and twig. Though quite intent in his pursuit, he has a merry tune to toot. Because his song will move the job along.
I love that accent from a native Oregonian. It's just wonderful. And I should explain that we're hearing Spoonful of Sugar because part of her story is about her three-year performance as Mary Poppins on Broadway. And so it's a wonderful story of a local person going out and coming back. Now, speaking of homecoming, a singer named Natasha Neese, excuse me, took up singing again in her 50s. I just interviewed her for My Better Half, and that'll air this Friday. She took a 20-year break to raise kids after being in bands in her 20s and 30s, and she founded a hugely popular Led Zeppelin tribute band after being in the band called Saucy here in the Rogue Valley. And Living Loving Led was huge. It was selling out Roxy Ann. They did state fairs.
Yeah, they've done some touring, I think.
She relocated to L.A., you know, to pursue the big dream, had all the ups and downs that bands have with all those dynamics. And Natasha has just written a memoir called Rise Up and Rock, A Front Woman's Journey. And she's having her release party Saturday, May 23rd at White Rabbit in downtown Ashland.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you both for sharing all of that with us.
Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
Thank you.